Today's episode is being sponsored by artist, author, and longtime friend of the PCPS, Anne Pellegrino, who has created one of the cutest, most fun, and infectious Gen X journals that's truly a creative trip down memory lane. The Gen X Journal is so much more than just a journal. It's a retro activity book for people of a certain age, filled with journaling prompts. I love that. I never know what to write in my journals. Coloring pages and cute doodles themed around our childhood and teen memories. What did your bedroom look like? Describe it or sketch it out in the journal. What favorite toys do you remember? What songs were playing at school dances? You can make your own mixtape right in the journal. You'll find over 80 pages of cute illustrations, fun topics, journal prompts, and lots of room for your own writing and drawings. Spend some time recalling long-forgotten favorites and, most importantly, getting in touch with your younger self. We love this journal so, so much. And it's available where you buy books or through the link in the show notes of this episode. Again, it's called The Gen X Journal, and it's created by Anne Pellegrino, who is Spot Girl Design on socials. And trust us, her art is beyond darling and whimsical. Go to spotgirldesign.com to check out all of Anne's incredible designs. Thanks for sponsoring this episode today, Anne. And more importantly, thank you for creating such a fun and fabulous journal.
So now the three of them, the lead singer, the little person dressed as a jester, and the lady high on angel dust, all skip through a Renaissance-era village while a whole family of little people, many, many families, dance in the forest nearby.
Hello, world, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation who have forgotten every phone number except one. 867-5309.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we'll be saving the three-minute-long stories unique to our generation because they appeared only on MTV. Today is the first meeting of our MTV book club.
I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
This episode is inspired by a game we play in my house called The Premise Is. If you ever watch live TV, you might have some random channels way down at the bottom that broadcast old school music videos, MTV era music videos. And one time, my son Liam was sitting next to me on the couch when one of these channels popped up. I wish I could remember what the video was. I have no idea, but it was bonkers. It was so nonsensical. And Liam is like, "You guys, what is going on?"
I mean, throw
what
a dart.
Is this?
It could be
yes.
Hundreds of them.
Anything. And so then this started a game in which we tried to explain what was going on in the nonsensical video by pretending that we were the directors in a pitch meeting, like trying to sell the concept to the music execs. And okay, we'd say, "So the premise is..." And then you would basically say what was happening on the screen. So, for instance, if you were watching the safety dance, which we've talked about on this podcast before.
Oh, yeah.
You would say, "So the premise is the lead singer and a little person dressed like a jester are skipping through a field of waving wheat. They're very excited. They're skipping. And that's when they come upon a blonde lady who is high on angel dust and looks like she might jump out of a plate glass window. Except there are no plate glass windows because these are jester times, not modern times." So now the three of them, the lead singer, the little person dressed as a jester, and the lady high on angel dust, all skip through a Renaissance-era village while a whole family of little people, many, many families, dance in the forest nearby. That's how you play The Premise Is. And you do it through the whole video. You just keep describing what you see on the screen.
What if there was, and just like go with me here, everyone, a maypole
Yep. And in that maypole. I get it. Okay, I get it. I get the game. Yep. This is going to be fun.
The premise is, so in the early days of MTV, this was not yet an art form. It was an emerging art form. There were no standards yet. There were no techniques. Everybody was just trying to keep up. It was like they couldn't get out in front of what was happening. And that's why so many of the early videos are just concert footage or faux concert footage with, like, you know, 10 people in front, but they come in real close. And when people wanted to break out of that trap of faux concert footage and get more creative, they really had no template to follow. It was something akin to the shows we used to make up for our parents and their dinner party
guests.
Oh,
God, you're right.
Right. That's essentially what it is.
Nightmare.
It's the same thing. So it took a while, but eventually music videos started to do some storytelling with characters and plots and scenes. But that does not mean that they were good. Sometimes they were complete gibberish. But the medium was evolving, and that gives us a lot to talk about today. So today's episode was inspired by my own 2025 viewing of a video I used to love. But in 2025, I was like, oh my God, that is not okay. And I so wanted to do book club about it. So I asked Carolyn and Michelle to each pick a video they wanted to bring to book club. And I've got my wackadoo pick. And voila, we have our first meeting of the MTV book club.
Yeah, this will be a fun ongoing series, I think.
Yes, yeah. It will.
It's because fun it was to hard go back. To pick.
Well, yes, that. Mm-hmm. And like I say a lot during this podcast, going back and watching some of these things, TV shows, whatever, or listening to music that I haven't really revisited since I first watched it when it was out. Oh, my gosh. Like, it's you can see it through totally different eyes. And so that was fun for me because I wasn't as highbrow back in the day that I might be now.
Nonsensical was fine. You didn't expect to understand everything.
Correct.
And sometimes you're bringing 2025 eyes like, oh, we can't do that anymore. And sometimes you're just bringing your adult eyes like, you guys, get your shit together. Right?
Yeah.
It's just
right?
different. It's just different. Right. So let's launch into our book club. I'm gonna bring my pick to the table. So I was watching one of these video stations recently when the video for Hello by Lionel Richie popped up.
Been alone with you inside my mind, and in my dreams I've kissed your lips a thousand times. I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Hello.
I have seen this video a million times, but this time was different. This time, it was the year 2025, and I was 57 years old. And it was like I had never seen it before. I was like, what the actual F is this? Is this a creeper video?
Yeah, same.
So everybody's nodding their head.
I didn't know if I was supposed to, like, call the cops.
Yes, right.
I was like, is there a retroactive, like, is there like a time limit on when I should have called the cops on this?
What's the statute of limitations for stalking? So I went online to see if anyone else had woken up recently and said, oh my God, is this even legal? And as usual, Reddit really delivered for me. There is a Reddit thread called, does anyone else think the video for Hello was weird? And there is also, by the way, an article in the Dallas Observer called Lionel Richie's video for Hello is the most confusing video of all time. So I'm going to be sharing from both of these because their comments are so, so funny. The first commenter on Reddit says, and I will preface this comment by saying, so the premise is, Lionel Richie is a lecturer in like a fame school and pervs over some blind girl, then calls her when she's in bed and says, hello. So the blind girl makes a sculpture of his face that brings on nightmares. That's the premise.
Why is she blind?
Why?
I hope you're going to solve these mysteries for us, Kristen.
This
I mean, that was my hope.
Yeah. This is the mystery. Most people, I love the fact that he mentions the sculpture of his face being nightmarish, because most people are horrified by the sculpture of Lionel Richie's head at the end of the video. It's huge and yes. scary and the color of clay, and it absolutely does not look like Lionel Richie at all. And Lionel Richie was actually super upset about this, the fact that
well, the girl's
like, dude,
blind.
This is not. Right.
I mean, I thought it was pretty good to look like him. Right. I thought it looked pretty good. Like, I was like, that's a really good representation for being blind.
Never having seen
him. Having never touched the man before. There's this meme out there that is so not funny. And it's Lionel Richie looking at the sculpture with the blind girl sitting there smiling. And he goes, what, are you blind? This doesn't look anything like me. It's so bad. So he was super upset about it. He's like, dude, this does not look like me, to the director. And the director said, well, we just have the one and we let the sculpture go yeah, home.
We spent like 20 grand on that too, Lionel.
Yes. So we're just going with it. And I think the first time I saw the video, I didn't even get that that sculpture was supposed to be Lionel Richie. I was like, I thought he was the acting teacher. Why is he so into this sculpture? Like, I didn't get the connection at all.
I think it looks a lot like him.
You do?
Oh, absolutely.
I was confused. I literally, it took me like a year to put it together. Like, oh, really? I get it. It's Lionel Richie. Some people
actually
said.
Well, she also says at the end, this is how I see you. At the very end. Yes. She's like, I hope you like it. This is how I see you. Yeah.
Yes. Some people have said that the sculpture looks like a chia pet.
Which, oh my God, yes. Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
If you just like got those seeds wet and smooshed it all around the top of his clay head, grass would grow.
Chia pet.
Yeah.
So I guess the point of her making the Lionel Richie head is to, and I didn't get this either when I was watching it the first time around. The point of her making the Lionel Richie head is to demonstrate that she reciprocates his feelings. Like, see, all this time that you've been stalking me, I've been wishing you were stalking me.
And yeah, then, I love you.
You know, true love blooms. So upon watching it this time, it is truly pervy. The images of him following her after class through the hallways of what we can only imagine is a high school. It doesn't look like college. It's a high school. And he's hovering just over her shoulder, unbeknownst to her. And
because she's blind.
She doesn't know. It is generally agreed upon that he appears to be stalking her. And again, mostly because she cannot see. It's a twist. Like you said, they didn't need this twist, but it dials up the creep factor.
Totally.
And she's vulnerable because she can't see him coming. Why, director? Why?
Also the drama. Like, not only does she not see him slowly walking down the locker hall, neither do any of the other students. Nobody else seems to think it's weird that Mr. Richie, the drama teacher, is just walking
slowly.
And singing as he's walking walking right up and just, I mean, laser focused on her.
Ugh. Yes.
That always creeps me out. Yeah, always
creepy. It's very creepy. And one of the Reddit commenters said, I cannot believe no one stopped the production to be like, we cannot film this.
Right. Why not? Right. Nobody thought it was weird. And think of all the people that are in, not only behind the scenes, but are in the video. It's not like just two of them.
There's so many people in this video, and nobody said, dude, you're a creeper.
What year is this again?
Is it 1984? Either 83 or 84.
Okay, because not too many years before that, nobody thought it was weird. I know we reference this a lot, but it's sort of our barometer of what was acceptable and what we didn't look twice at. Nobody stopped the filming or the script writer of Ice Castles saying, she's 16. He is already like a well-established sports guy on the news. Let's have them not only have an affair or, you know, have a love, like a relationship, but let's have them kiss in front of the entire crowd of people.
Like, it is not clandestine.
Nobody thinks there's anything wrong with this or creepy. So that's
so the Dallas Observer, this is a cheeky review. It is so freaking funny. And they describe this video like this. It's like a warm bath in a room that smells of lavender, only you're being stalked by Lionel Richie and you have no fucking clue. He's just standing there staring at you because you're blind. Also, there's a reason Van Halen didn't write a song called Hot for Student, and that reason is felonies.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is another particularly disturbing scene when he sings, I long to see the sunlight in your hair.
I long to see the sunlight in your hair. And tell you time and time again how much I care.
And he's creeping up behind her while she's sitting there eating lunch. And he reaches out his hand. And when her friends approach, he jumps back and he pulls his hand back. And the Dallas Observer says, holy shit, we just got footage of a predator about to prance. Why can't I say it?
Pounce?
It's not just you, Carolyn. Yes. We just got footage of a predator about to pounce. So Laura's friends are just going to ignore the fact that when they walked up to sit with their blind friend at lunch, a teacher with a bushy mustache was a few inches away from running his fingers through her hair. Oh. Okay, but still, it gets worse. It just keeps ramping up. Every scene gets worse and worse. So here's the most horrifying scene. This is straight out of a horror movie, is when she is at home in bed, and it's sort of insinuated that he's watching her, and he calls her on the telephone, and he just breathes into the phone for like the whole guitar solo. And finally he says, hello, is it me you're looking for? And then hangs up.
I know.
He hangs
it's
up.
So creepy. It's so creepy.
Oh my
the
God.
Drama,
and she,
too.
When he hangs hello? Up, she like smiles. Oh, she smiles. So, and this is what a guy on Reddit said. So he's stalking a blind girl who looks like she's reading erotic braille in bed. If someone called me and saying, hello, is it me you're looking for? And hung up, I would be terrified. Like,
yeah.
That's when you call 911.
Not to mention, is it me you're looking for? You can't see.
I just think.
He's like, no.
Like, no, no.
Exactly.
The lyrics of this song, like when the writers of the video were like, okay, here's the song we need to write. We need to create a video for it. This is what they came up with. I feel like that's where we need to look for,
yes.
Like the creeps, right?
Yes.
Because.
Yep.
There's a million ways you could do a video to this song. It's actually a beautiful song,
yes.
Right?
Is it, and, yeah. Is it me you're looking for? Yes.
Yeah, because you're. Mm-hmm. I can see it in your eyes. I can feel it in, yes. Your smile or whatever. I just feel like for them to go, the premise is, I know, high school girl.
Yes, yes.
Creepy Bean teacher.
Stalks.
But guess what?
Yes.
Plot twist, it's going to turn out she loves him too.
And she's
and
blind.
She's blind.
Oh, yeah. And she's
blind.
Oh,
that's
blind. Right.
I forgot.
Oh, by the
I
way.
Forgot.
Oh, by the way, she's blind. Yes.
How
so she can't
this?
See him coming ever. She can't see him coming.
So please, Kristen, tell me you found some intel on the background of this?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
There's no background. But
so
you
we
know
don't
what?
Know why.
No, we it, don't know why she has
premise.
To be blind. And apparently they even filmed, this got cut. This, I can't even believe it. This got cut. Apparently they filmed a scene of her in the shower. Before she goes into bed, where her naked body is shown in
what?
Silhouette in the shower curtain. And again, they're insinuating that he's watching her. And okay, number one, stop it. And number two, have you not seen Psycho?
Yeah.
You'd just be waiting for someone to like yank the shower curtain back and be like, ree, 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 ree. But
ugh,
no, somebody,
so
thank
gross.
God, finally spoke up and said, you grind.
Thank goodness.
Think that's gross. That's gross.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you'll know the answer, but is she really blind?
No, she's not.
Okay.
I looked that
okay.
up.
Oh, okay.
Here's the scoop. Here's the scoop. So
okay.
The blind girl is played by an actress named Laura Carrington, who went on to star on General Hospital from 1987 to 89. And apparently she studied at an LA school for the blind to prepare for this role because, no, she is not blind. And after the filming, she became quite the Lionel Richie fan, and she followed his concert tours all over the country.
Oh, no.
And people would recognize her and treat her as if she was really blind.
Oh, or his
and
girlfriend.
She's like, no, 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 no. Yeah.
You guys
like,
never
no,
get
no,
together.
No, I'm not blind.
I thought watching it again this week, I felt like she looked a lot like the girl in the Thriller video. I had to Google
she
that.
Did.
And I was
yes.
like, is this
mm-hmm.
the same girl? Not the same girl.
No,
and that's
it
where
is
I
not.
Found out she is not blind. or the girl from the Thriller video.
And the end of the video is really interesting, too, because this is when we are doing some storytelling. They're trying to tell a story. And so they take the story beyond the song. So the song ends, but the story continues. And a student comes running into Lionel Richie's classroom and he says, Mr. Reynolds. I don't know why they had to change his name, but whatever. Mr. Reynolds, there's something going on in sculpture class. I think you should see it. So the Dallas Observer says, and Mr. Reynolds better be the school psychologist because there's a student who just hand-sculpted a bust of her teacher. But no, it turns out that the thing that this student was so urgent about was an impossibly bad rendition of Lionel, quote-unquote, Reynolds' face with a chin that could be used to bludgeon wildlife to death. And it's true. The chin is enormous. Go and look at the chin of this sculpture. It sticks out, like, way beyond the face. It's bad. And then this, like, we brought this up at the end. This is how they end their article. The Dallas Observer says, wait. How does she know what his face looks like? How?
Well, usually blind people see people's faces by touching them, by feeling them, right? Putting their hands all over them. Yep. So when she says, this is how I see you, I was like, oh, so she's clearly felt his face enough to make that. I don't know.
But then she does touch his face. And this is what I'm reading into it. When at the end of the video, when she says that statement and then she touches his face, I'm feeling like this is the first time she's touched his face. It's sort of like the first time they've had sex. Or it's their first kiss. The first time I've touched his face. So it doesn't, I'm holding my hands. I know. Like I'm touching your faces. It doesn't make sense because is she just making out? I don't know. I have no idea. Okay, this is so funny, though, because this is a really good point. And I wonder if Lionel Richie has been dealing with this for his entire career. The final thing that the Dallas Observer says is, how much do you think Lionel Richie has hated having to answer the phone for the last 30 years? If I knew Lionel Richie, every time he answered the phone with a friendly hello, I would say, is it me you're looking for?
Yeah, that's so funny.
And coincidentally, this is apropos of nothing. I just think it's interesting. The director of this video is the same guy who directed the Pepsi commercial with Michael Jackson where his hair caught on fire.
Oh, my God.
So I encourage everybody, go and watch the Hello video for the first time in 40 years and go, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, you're going to need to take a shower after, though, everyone. So,
high school teacher. Stalking a student. I mean, she even goes to her locker, you guys.
Well, she's eating lunch in the cafeteria with her friends. It's not like it's on a college campus at all. It's high school.
Hello. He calls his, what would you do if one of your high school teachers called you at home? If he didn't even go hello and then hang up. If he just called you at home, he'd be like, hey, Michelle, I just thought I'd say hi. Oh
my God. Yes. My mom would be so like, hang creeped up now. Out. Yeah, I'd be so creeped out.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
yuck.
God.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Love the song though. Tell me how to win your heart, for I haven't got a clue. But let me start by saying I love you.
So I'm going to take us way back. We're everybody getting our way back machine or getting the way back of your station wagon. And we're going to go back to 1980. And I want you to stay with me now. So I'm going to be like the producer for this new video. Okay. So you guys are in the meeting room.
Okay.
And you need to stay with me the whole time because I've got an idea.
Okay.
It's a big one. Okay.
We're wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, we are. And remember, this is 1980, okay? So this is even pre-MTV. Okay. All right, everyone. So I've got a great idea for Whip It. Is Whip Tees, but it's a but it's a misogynistic, rapey Western theme, right?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Now let's dress the band in the red collapsible cup looking hats, obviously.
Okay. The solo cups.
Yeah. Black shorts, mm-hmm. black socks, and black sleeveless turtlenecks. But, and here's where the look becomes quirky. They're going to pull the turtleneck up over their mouths and play their instruments in a hog pen in front of a cardboard cabin. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're going to throw in some hay bales out front to class it up. And what if we have a middle-aged mother figure standing at the window cutout, staring expressionless straight ahead? Sometimes we're going to have her hold a pie. Sometimes it's going to be a whipping bowl of cream. And in the other window cutout will be a girl. No, I've got it. A cross-eyed girl. Who we will soon learn is a sharpshooter. She's eventually going to be raped, but we're going to get to that in a minute. Now, and maybe the through line of the video could be, and I'm just spitballing here, you guys.
Okay.
We will have lead singer Mark Mothersbaugh whipping around an actual bullwhip. But instead of a bull, it's a random mannequin-like woman. And every time he cracks that whip, another piece of her clothing rips off until she's left, get this, in just her corset.
I like this.
Okay,
but could we make that mannequin like a real woman, like a human woman?
Yeah, she's just mannequin looking.
That would be
even
better.
Yeah, she's just mannequin looking.
I love that. Yeah. I love this.
Okay, good. Because here's the premise of the B storyline. Okay. Watching all of this unfold are going to be two real shiny and smiley guys and girls in cowboy garb. And don't worry all about the budget. We can just get all that at Mervyn's. And they look like they walked straight out of a magazine ad for whatever beers they're cracking open. And they're going to cheer and toast every time that whip cracks off another piece of the mannequin lady's clothing before one of the guys gets mad at one of the girls and grabs her in anger. But wait, hold on. She'll laugh because assault is funny. Assault is funny.
It cracks me
up. It does. I know. I've been reading the room. Well, then the cross-eyed girl in the cabin, how about we have her shoot the can out of one of those fake cowboys' hand? At first, let's have it amaze him. But then I think it should lead him to stalk into the cabin, grab her, and rape her as one of the other shiny cowgirls yells, "Ride 'em, cowboy!"
Oh,
reeled out.
God.
And wait, even better, we're going to put that on the screen. We're going to put that text right on the screen to really pound that home. Ride 'em, cowboy.
In case they don't know what they're doing, then make it very clear.
Yeah, I think this really is going to get the message across that whipping women is fun. It is a good time. And bonus, you can dance to it.
You really can. Yeah. I think this is just going to be like the bop of the year.
Yeah, I think it is too.
I really like it. I love the addition of the mother because what that does is it balances out the, you know, like the boppy nature of it and then the real doldrums nature of it. She's just going to balance the whole thing.
You know, thank you. I'm glad you saw that because my intent was for her to really bring a little bit more wholesomeness to this video.
Yeah.
What do you guys
think?
That's
a really great, because it is somewhat wholesome. Yeah.
You guys, if you haven't seen the video for Whip It in a hot second, that's it.
That's literal. You just did a play-by-play.
And when I say cross-eyed woman, I'm not kidding. They make her look cross-eyed as she shoots.
And
because
why?
Then the guy's holding the can and it's like all like the can is like, whoa,
oh, she's got double vision.
It's like, yeah. Double vision. How does she see it? Okay, this song, Whip It, was released
by
Devo.
Carol is just laughing. She's just
laughing. And it is called Whip Tease. If you catch it, it is a split second.
That.
But at the very beginning of the video, it is a split second. Open your weekly reader this Friday and you'll see it. It comes flying in. You know, all those really cool graphics they had in 1980. It comes flying in and it's written in like a rope. It's like a graphic and it says Whip Tease.
Oh, get it? Like strip tease?
Yeah.
This is brilliant.
There is a lot of backstory to this that thank God I read because I was like, holy hell, this is disturbing. Like I said, it's very misogynistic and rapey. 100%.
And we're recognizing all of you out there. We all loved this video.
Oh,
I loved it.
It was so funny.
I love this song.
Well, yeah. You know, the song Whippet was released in 1980, which is a full year before MTV. But in 1981, once MTV started, they played it a lot, as we all remember, and it kind of revived the song. The song was kind of already going downhill. I didn't know that, like which comes first, the video right. or the song. In this case, the song did. And so did the video, because when Whippet started to receive radio airplay, and you guys, I'm getting this straight from, you know, the trusted source Wikipedia, so let's just take this as you want to. But when it did start to receive airplay in 80, before MTV, the record company was like, hey, why don't you guys make a video for Whippet? We're going to give you $15,000, which actually kind of shocks me, because I want to go back to 1980. I feel like $15,000 was a nice little chunk of change.
That's kind of a lot of money.
What's with the cardboard? It's truly like made of cardboard. It's like a front of a cabin and then some bales of hay.
And then like Devil's Tower. It's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind behind them.
But it's painted on a screen.
I thought they were trying to give us some kind of vibe of that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was purposeful. I don't know why.
Well,
but
apparently this whole idea, this whole plot, the whole premise didn't just pull it out of thin air. It came from an article in a 1962 issue of a magazine called The Dude. And the article was about a former stuntman who marries a stripper and moves to a dude ranch in Arizona. And for entertainment, the man would use his whip to remove the clothes from his wife. She would remain unhurt, though. He could just like snap them off of her, right? Well, Devo, the band, has said, that's the kind of stuff that fed us creatively. It was just so stupid and so low and yet just so great.
Yes.
So I think they were going into this with a sense of humor. Now, we also have to remember the time. Right now, we're like, is rapiness funny? Like, how is this funny? It's 1980. They were like, they were truly like, this seems so horrible.
Right.
And because he says it was so low and so dumb. And we're like, let's make a video.
So that's like a current day thing where he acknowledged the raping.
I don't know how current, but yes.
Current-er
that he says it was so stupid and so low and felt so great. So they also say that it was partially a reaction to President Reagan's previous career as an actor. Devo wanted to make a video that satirized both the cowboy mythos. I think I'm saying that right. I don't know. And right-wing racist values. So they truly made this, and they were like, this is sort of our representation of kind of making fun of the people that think this is okay and all this
stuff.
They were skewering. Well, that backfired on them just a little bit because the claims of misogyny increased when Devo was cut from a live performance on an episode of The Midnight Special, the show that was hosted by Lily Tomlin. She saw the video, Lily Tomlin, and she refused to host the show unless Devo was cut from the lineup that night. Also, there have been claims that MTV banned the video, but that's kind of been proven false because that's how we saw it. We remember they were showing it all the time.
Right.
I felt a little bit better after reading that they kind of were doing this tongue-in-cheek, like, you know, like you would do in 1980. Now, you don't do it just that kind of blasé, let's make a video about it. But in 1980, you could. But like I said, I think it kind of backfired on them because they got a lot of flack for it.
Hey, listeners, it's Carolyn, and I am thrilled to share with you that today's episode is being sponsored by Amanda McGee. She is one of my favorite artists and a loyal PCPS listener as well. She creates this wonderful, nostalgic pop culture art that brings me pure Gen X joy every time I see it. Think big wheels, banana seat bikes, Saturday morning cartoons glowing on wood panel TV sets. Her work is bright and happy, and it's truly dripping with nostalgia. It's the perfect gift for your sister, your bestie, or yourself. Because why not? I gifted myself Amanda's Christmas morning print last year, and let me tell you, it is everything. I dare you to find a piece of art that can bring you more joy. So make this gift-giving season special. Head to AmandaMcGee.com. That's AmandaMcGee.com.
www.reproductionprints.com. From now through December 15th, enjoy 25% off all reproduction prints. The best news of all is that PCPS listeners can receive a complimentary $25 mini print with every purchase of a print. Just use PCPS at checkout. So head to AmandaMcGee.com and get some of your holiday shopping done today. Okay, friends, listen up. I have got a public service announcement for you. If you are planning to holiday shop like it's 1987, aka wandering the mall, getting lost in the food court, and then panic buying a sweater at the Limited, it's time to evolve and check out a wonderful alternative, Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods is where I, along with Kristen and Michelle, go when we want to give a gift that says, I am thoughtful and I'm creative and charming, possibly a genius. They find the coolest items from artists and small independent businesses, stuff that you would never find in big box stores. I'm in love with a Hostess gift I recently purchased, a bread warming set which included a personalized warming stone and woven basket. It was the perfect way to say thank you for some warm hospitality. And shopping at Uncommon Goods actually makes my heart grow 3 sizes. Because with every purchase, Uncommon Goods gives back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So your holiday shopping spree also spreads a little good in the world. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/PCPS. That's uncommongoods.com/PCPS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Well, and you know that these guys are way up here, right? Like their intellect is way above ours, and they maybe their expectations of us were much higher than what we could actually perceive. I certainly didn't know what satire was when I was in seventh grade.
Right.
But now I see it. Now that you've explained it to me, I can see the contrast between these new wave guys with their turtlenecks over their mouths and their solo cups on their heads, contrasted with the misogynistic cowboys and their cowboy girlfriends. I guess they're called cowgirls. I can see that that's a contrast, and they're making fun of them and they're making them look dumb. There is one difficulty, though, in that I think the rapey part, yes, they're skewering those guys and how they treat women, but I think one reason we were allowed to get away with showing rapey things is because there was in the backs of people's minds this idea that women really wanted it, that there people had rape fantasies. Mm. And a rape fantasy is different from reality, right?
True.
But that women really wanted it. And so when this guy is raping her, there is a point where he pulls away and she grabs his t-shirt,
that is true,
his collar, and pulls him back down to her because, you know, they really want it.
I was about to say, we don't know for sure that it was,
yes,
that
mm-hmm.
it was very insinuated too, because he goes storming in there and he grabs her and then you just see them disappear. Like he pushes her down.
And holds her leg up. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's pretty graphic actually.
Yeah.
But again, let's go back to our
1980 selves. And I loved the song and I just thought the video was funny. I don't have, I know I had seen it. I don't have, you know, I have certain videos that I can pretty much recite the whole storyline, you know, in verbatim. And it's a video I haven't seen in decades. This one, I couldn't have done it. I had to rewatch it several times over the past few days. But of course I saw it. How would you not have seen it in 1981, 82, 83 when you're watching MTV? So we'll put that one in the weekly reader too. It's problematic, but you know,
that's
what
you
it
knew
was.
They had to have something to say about it.
And, and basically the lyrics of the song are completely nonsensical. And they admit that too.
Yes.
It's not a story song by any means.
No.
So
mm-hmm.
how do you really make a video? They were like, I don't know, let's just throw some shit at the wall and see what sticks. Basically.
What if they were able to give their commentary and say all of those things? That could have made a difference. But
thank
if you,
you
don't. Yeah. If they could have
and
said that.
And it's kind of easy to retrofit a story. I mean, no offense,
good
Diva,
point.
But maybe you, you know, can
point.
Try to make it not seem as awful as some people might have thought, like Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, like I'm trying to make a statement here. But Lily didn't know that. It just looks horrible. I think two things. The mom, isn't she really one of their moms?
I don't know.
I think it is one of, and she's just deadpan. She's clearly she's not an actress. She stares deadpan, holding a pie. You're not sure why she's there. I also don't know why the woman has to be cross-eyed. Why the other? Why
the? She's why a sharpshooter. I mean, maybe the
is that
irony.
Commentary too?
I don't know what it would be.
All right.
Yeah. Irony, yes.
I get it.
Yes.
Yeah. Irony. But see, we're really smart people and we're not picking up on this.
I think this needs to be like a graduate level film, you know, class, or at least, you know, let's dissect this video and what all this could mean.
They're children too. They're children and they're not very good at this. So it's like they submitted this for their project and they're probably going to get a C minus on it.
When he cracks the whip and the clothes just go flying off, it's like they were tied on with fishing wire, because he cracks the whip and he doesn't really crack it anywhere that close to her. But then you'll just see a close up of her face and the hat just goes flying straight up off her head. Or like they just had it attached to wires and they just pulled it like a pulley and the thing went.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That was really good, Michelle.
My God. Oh, my cheeks hurt from
laughing. I know. Mm-hmm. Man, you could sell me oceanfront property in Arizona based on the premise. Like, stay with me here. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Obviously still, very convincing.
But the point of the premise is, like, how did Devo walk in and sell that premise to somebody? And somebody had to rubber stamp it.
This is how I'm imagining. When I was watching it, I kept watching it over, typing. And then this is what I'm getting, you know, because it was really fun to write, because you could imagine how absurd it had to have been. And it has to be so not very far from how I read it, probably.
Uh-huh. No, I think you're probably right on.
Shape it up. Get straight. Go forward. Move ahead. Try to detect it. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good.
Okay, you guys, let's hop in a time machine back to 1986, when MTV was basically babysitting us, okay? And we would be watching that. And I guess I shouldn't say babysitting a lot of Gen X. I was in college, and I loved anything that had Phil Collins or Genesis, primarily because my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, Andy, loved anything that had Phil Collins and Genesis. So automatically, I'm going to love the song. Love the song, the video. Okay, so let's talk about it, everybody. This video.
What's the song? You didn't say the song yet.
Oh, sorry. Yes, that's stay with me here, everybody. Our song is Land of Confusion, which could not be more of an appropriate title for this music video, because I was so confused. And I asked Andy this. I think that Andy was probably poo-pooing this a little bit, because for a lot of OG Genesis fans, especially if you even go back to Peter Gabriel and then you go to when Phil Collins came, they were in a different lane. So this is them kind of crossing over into pop and kind of becoming a little silly. And so I think that was playing in my head as well. Andy saying, like, what on earth? They're just trying to whatever. And we didn't really understand the depth of this song and what it really meant.
Yeah.
And I wonder, really, I guess adults probably did, but I can't imagine a whole lot of high schoolers and Gen X kids really saying, oh, I get it. That's what's happening.
No.
Right?
I think I got that they were saying something, but you couldn't get everything that they were saying, because they were saying too much.
Yeah. Right. They were saying too much. And they were saying in this video, they were saying too much in a very weird way. So
weird.
Yes. So
which was an obstacle to us. It was an obstacle to understanding.
So we're going to start with the fact that as the director, or I think this is, I can say as Phil Collins, he envisioned this. Okay.
Yeah,
as he goes into the creators, he said, this is what we're going to do. I want puppets. I want this to basically be a puppet show. And we're not talking like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie puppets. We're talking like Madam, you know, the ugly Madam puppets that scared
Lady
the
Elaine
crap out of us.
Like scary puppets.
Where the
Lady Elaine puppets.
Their characteristics, like their noses and their chins, are all really over exaggerated.
Yeah. And red case, and wrinkly.
Yes, wrinkly. It's almost like Madam and Lady Elaine are melting, but like getting a lot bigger at the same time. So if you can imagine.
Their heads are really big.
Their heads are really big. Yeah.
And they're very frightening. So this is in 1986, and this is what Phil Collins is presenting. And he thinks this is a great idea. And much to his credit, there was a very popular show in Britain at the time called Spitting Image that was used these puppets. So the creators of that show are actually the creators and the designers of these puppets. So he concocted this idea. There were 60 puppets in this video. Okay. I just want to give you a little idea. So he said, I'm going to need at least a $600,000 budget because each puppet costs $10,000 to make.
Are you kidding me?
No, what? I am not kidding you. Yes. And you guys, as we will soon find out, this is a very star-studded music video. Okay. Probably more so than even We Are the World. Jeez. So here we go. I'm going to give you kind of a scene-by-scene breakdown, and hopefully you'll find it amusing. We will go from there. Okay. Ironically, we are going to be in a nightmare that Ronald Reagan is having.
That could be the end. That could
I know,
be
the end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That says it all.
I mean, if I had known that in the beginning, that would have helped me tremendously, that this was Ronald Reagan's nightmare, because I didn't even get
that. Yes, right. I think that's exactly the case. So I'm going to tell you what exactly was happening on our screens, although we might not have realized this at the time when we were watching it. No. Okay, because we start, it's bedtime. It's bedtime for Nancy and Ronald Reagan.
Bedtime for...
That's, you got it, because we have a bonzo, we have a chimp right in the middle.
It's my favorite part of the whole video.
The chimp is also like life size. It's not like a little chimp. Yes, it is laying
between.
It's not
like bonzo. Yeah.
No, it is right in the middle of Nancy and Ronald. Okay, so here we go. They go to sleep, and Ronald Reagan begins to have what all of us had watching this video. He started to have a nightmare. Okay, we realize when you're, you know, you got a lot on your plate like I do right now, you have a lot of anxiety, your dreams are weird. This is going to be a crazy nightmare. It is like the Cold War has become the Muppet Show or vice versa. I don't even know. Totally insane. Okay, so Reagan is asleep. He's tossing and turning. The chimp is snoring beside him. And all of a sudden, we hear the iconic, we hear the drums. And there's Phil Collins' puppet. He jumps on the screen, scarier than the chimp or Ronald Reagan or Nancy Reagan, I think, is Phil Collins' puppet. He's sweaty. He's bug-eyed. He just looks like the world's kind of weirdest bobblehead. It's just this head.
Yeah.
And then also they look kind of rubbery and they have hands, which are like kind of human-like that are kind of holding the microphone. It's very strange.
And it's like, and it's not like well-kept Phil Collins. He's like bald on top, but long stringy hair, like Grandpa Phil Collins he like lost his job.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of that era of Phil Collins, though, to be honest with you. They did a pretty good job.
Okay, so Phil has hopped on, and we see a few other little pieces of Mike Rutherford and whatever the other guy's name is in Genesis. The other guy. And meanwhile, we're going to cut back to Reagan is in bed, and he is thrashing around. He is dreaming about chaos because – little do we know back when we didn't have a care in the world except our hair getting bigger with hairspray is that there's a lot of Cold War stuff going on. And that is happening in his dream. It's transpiring in his dreams. We see tanks rolling. We see rockets launching. And then we see these world leaders popping up, just their heads out of the ground. Okay, so we see these giant army boots marching through a swamp. I don't know what it is. And then all of a sudden, like Gorbachev's head pops up. Kind of cockeyed. Like, it's a puppet, you guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And remember, there are these awful puppets and, you know, the Ayatollah. And I realized that when it was happening.
I had no idea. I didn't know those were world leaders.
I think I was just singing and maybe not even paying attention because it was that crazy and wild. I mean, Margaret Thatcher is in there.
Oh, I did recognize that one. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is like a cartoon, a Saturday morning cartoon from hell. It is just
over
the top.
It's like Croft's super show for world leaders.
Yes. 100%. Mm-hmm. I would say that's a great analogy. All right. So we've got that weird swamp scene. And then suddenly we have Reagan trying to put on a Superman suit. Okay. And he is like on a couch and they look like underoos. Remember underoos
where you could
see a Superman, but they're kind of tights that he's trying to put on. But he's also got that kind of, he's lying down like we would do to try to zip our jeans up.
Exactly.
Try to get them on. And again, he's looking really scary. So this rubbery creature trying to put all of that on. Okay. And then we get to the chorus again, and this is Genesis rocking out, except their faces are... Their faces are just kind of stuck. They're not really moving. And Phil is yelling, "This is the world we live in." And their faces are just freaky. Mm-hmm. And it is like the world we live in is melting face Muppets. You guys, it turns into what probably could be described as the strangest celebrity cameo party in the history of cameos, of parties, of music videos. Maybe a little bit of a spoof on We Are the World, but the oddest collection of people. I mean, there's world leaders, there's the Pope, there's Prince, there's even like a Kermit the Frog shows up, all of these things. I want to read to you, I'm not even going to include every name because I don't even know who some of these people are, but I am going to read to you just a handful of some of the people that appear in this video. And I guess in a way it could be as a time capsule. As puppets. Yeah, all of these are puppets. Remember, we have 60 puppets at $10,000 a pop. And they could have saved some money because some of these people, I don't even know why you needed to put them in, except that this is indeed, like I just said, a kind of a snapshot time capsule of who was who in the 80s. Okay, so we obviously have the band members, and we have Nancy, and we have Ronald. We've said Margaret Thatcher. There's Jimmy Carter. There's Henry Kissinger. There's Brezhnev. There's Mussolini. There's the Ayatollah. There's Gorbachev. There's Gaddafi. I don't know who Ian Paisley is, but he's there. Walter Cronkite, Helmut Kohl, Richard Nixon. Okay, here we go. Oh, Michael Jackson, Madonna.
Oh, that was Michael Jackson. Why was Michael Jackson putting ketchup on his tongue?
No, that was not Michael Jackson. That was Prince.
That was Prince.
He's next. Yes, Michael Jackson appears later in his like, you know, probably what he was wearing in the "We Are the World" video.
Oh, right. It's more with of that the like and stuff like that. So why was Prince putting ketchup on his tongue?
I do not know. And listeners, if you happen to know, I don't even know that there is a reason. I didn't find one in any of my research. But yes, there is that strange scene where. Because evidently Prince has a really long tongue. Is he known? He's known for that.
I have never
evidently.
Heard that.
Like Gene Simmons. Well,
there you go. Pete Townsend, Tina Turner, Prince Charles, Princess Diana, Meryl Streep, Marlon Brando, Leonard Nimoy, Bob Hoskins, Johnny Carson, Ed McMahon, Bob Hope, Sylvester Stallone, Bob Dylan, Mick Jagger, Jim Baker, Tammy Faye Baker, Robert Maxwell, Steve Davis, I don't know who these people are, Cliff Richard, Clint Eastwood, Bruce Springsteen, Queen Elizabeth II, Prince Philip, Bette Midler, Hulk Hogan, Prince Edward, Sarah Ferguson, Bill Cosby, Yoko Ono, Sting, Mr. T, Dolly Parton, Pope John Paul II, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Grace Jones, Barbara Streisand, David Bowie, and Elton John.
$10,000 a piece.
What do you think happened to those puppets? I mean, that's a lot of time.
They're in the garbage. Somebody threw them away.
Hopefully they, right? they just set them on fire.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that would be toxic if you burned those things. That is so self-indulgent. That is MTV and the record label and Phil Collins being so full of themselves that they're just throwing money at things and thinking somehow they're going to recoup that. They could have cut that by 3/4. I don't think you could start by cutting Prince putting ketchup on his tongue.
They could have, but then I would ask the question, would they have won the short-lived Grammy Award for Best Concept Music Video during the 30th Annual Grammy Awards if they had cut that much out of it?
Unbelievable.
Who knows? We do not know.
Wow. Yeah.
But we're going to go back to the video because we haven't finished yet, okay? This crazy scene of all of these celebrities and they're singing. It's just all over the place. It's crazy. It's obviously been this incredible nightmare for Ronald Reagan, and he is sweating profusely, so much so that he's like underwater, and Nancy has a snorkel because I mean the whole place is. And
it's so glad you said that. Welcome to most of my nights.
Yeah, no kidding.
I could, as a 60-year-old now, moving halfway across the country, this has been my dreams. I can totally relate that if
you're
were
drowning.
The president during the Cold War, you are drowning and. When you go to sleep at night, these are the faces that probably run through your mind, and they probably look just as scary.
this is why we need book club, because I didn't realize he was drowning in his own sweat. I just thought there was water in his bed.
Yeah, no.
Okay. His water bed sprung a leak. Yeah,
right. And exactly, but here we go. The irony to all of this is he wakes up, it's the morning, and he says to Nancy, you know, good morning. The puppets say that to each other. And he grabs for a glass of water that's next to his bed, and he tosses it. And it hits Nancy, and luckily she has a mask on and a snorkel, so it doesn't really affect her that much. And he decides he needs another glass of water, and there's a little remote control kind of button thing on his wall next to him. And one of the buttons says nuke, and the other says nurse. And he says to Nancy, oh, I need another glass of water. I'm going to be asking the nurse. And so he pushes a button, accidentally pushes nuke and not nurse, and then one of the mushroom clouds erupts. And there we go. That is the end of our
the
music
bright
video.
Red buttons. There, I mean, it's like the red button.
The red
button.
It's buttons.
Pretty brilliant. It's pretty brilliant.
It's
commentary.
High concept for
it's
sure.
It's pretty brilliant commentary. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it at all.
I didn't
when
get
I
it
watched
either.
It. I just thought it was like sort of a fantastical, bizarre acid dream puppet show.
Well, kind of like the Devo video. It was just
exactly
bizarre, and it didn't make sense. And again, I don't think I recognized half of those puppets. But let's talk a little bit about maybe what this meant. And I'm going to share some of the lyrics, okay?
Okay.
Because, you know, again, you guys, we lived at a scary time, but we didn't know maybe we quite didn't even how know. Scary it mm-hmm. was just yeah. because we didn't have news 24/7 and people, right. you know, exposing us. We were of a certain age, and we also just didn't have access to that information.
Yeah.
Probably just as well, because I probably would have been having those same kind of dreams that he was having, like, this is the end of the world. And there were so many players. I mean, that was the other thing. If you just think about this puppet video, all of the different, you know, now we can say there's Putin and there's some other people. But back
right,
then, I mean,
much.
We had a lot more players and trying to appease people and yucky. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the lyrics are so profound. Again, I would have never gotten this, totally lost on me. Like, this whole song needs to be reintroduced now because it makes perfect sense right now. I must have dreamed 1,000 dreams, been haunted by 1,000,000 screams. This fits perfectly now when you know the lyrics and you know what the video is doing.
Yeah.
But I can hear the marching feet. They're moving into the street. Now, did you hear the news today? They say the danger has gone away, but I can see the fire still alight. They're burning into the night. And again, it's like we were being told everything's fine. Kind of like we're probably being told that a little bit. I think it's a little bit gaslighting.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Too many men, too many people making too many problems, ready, and not much love to go around. Mm-hmm. Can't you see this is the land of confusion? I mean, are we not living in the land of confusion right now?
On purpose. This is like purposeful confusion.
Exactly.
The obfuscation kind of too. Is the name of the game.
Right. And guess what? This is the world we live in. And these are the hands that we're given. So you guys, let's use them and let's start trying to make it a place worth living in. Amen. Hallelujah. Preach, Phil. Preach.
And now wonderful. I understand that what confused me so much was the chaos and the sleight of hand. Like, just keep showing them stuff. Move it fast. Move it. And
confuse
that way,
them. Keep them confused.
Yes, confuse them so that they can't make a decision and they don't understand. So I didn't understand that video. And so it made me irritated and it made me look away. That's exactly the same. Throw so much information at them that they just disengage. How many people do you know who have said, you've got to unplug from the news? You just have to ignore it and walk away. There's nothing that you can't control it. There's nothing that you can do. That might be the plan.
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love this next verse that we could even dissect a little bit because, you know, you find people that think one person, Superman, where are you now? Where they think there's the one person. I wonder who that might be, who can come and fix it all. But everything's gone wrong somehow. The men of steel, the men of power are losing control by the hour. And so as they lose control, then they're trying to make us all the more confused. And yet we go to our chorus. This is the world we live in. And these are the hands we're given.
So he wanted it to be dark. He wanted those puppets to be scary. He wanted us to be confused.
For sure. Obviously, not a whole lot has changed, except I think it even comes at us faster than it did in this video where it was pretty frenetic, too. But obviously, in real life, we're living in it right now. And there's a verse that says, my generation is going to put this right. We're not just going to make promises. He remembers this other time. We're going to, Gen X, you know what? We're going to make this right.
Yeah,
we know that we can.
We do
make a difference. I'm sorry. This has taken a deep, dark turn. Seeing these videos and listening to these songs as an older person, having lived a life, I see it differently. And that video made perfect sense to me as I was watching it and following along with the lyrics. And it's still one we remember. I mean, that's the other thing is it's one of the most well-remembered. It lost video of the year that year, coincidentally, to Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, which is another classic.
Right? Yes, it is. That's got book club written all over it, too.
Yes. And so that was a really good year. So it's one that people always will refer to. Probably if you say, what are your top five? I think that this one will always come in. And maybe not just because of the puppets and how weird it was.
Well, and I think the irony could be, like, if you ask me, what is one of your least favorite videos? I would probably say Land of Confusion. And Phil Collins might say, good.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I meant to make you uncomfortable.
It's disturbing.
I meant to make you disturbed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Good on you, Phil Collins. Good job. Good job. This is so great. You guys, I've been dying to do MTV Book Club for so long. Thank you to our members and the selections they brought to discuss today. This is surely the first of many meetings where we celebrate the uniquely unhinged and unformed and sometimes unintelligible, sometimes what's the word I'm looking for? Like beyond me. I wish there was an unword. The beyond me concepts. Incomprehensible form, the art form of the early 1980s known as the music video. Thank you for listening today, and we will see you next time.
And a huge thank you to all of our incredible patrons. Your support means the world to us and directly fills up the tanks we need to keep on trucking. Because of your generosity, big or small, we're able to keep bringing you new episodes, invest in equipment, and the subscriptions we need to produce this podcast to keep bringing you quality content. Today, we're giving a special thank you to these patrons: Carolyn, Jen, Cindy, Colette, Sharon, Susan, Barbara, Helene, Christina, Heather, Jill, and Elizabeth. And if you enjoy the show and want to help us grow, consider becoming a patron yourself. You can find out more about the different tiers of support and the exclusive perks each offer by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com.
Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us today through from the dark and disturbing to the ridiculous and chaotic to the inappropriate and all of the above. This has been such a roller coaster. I'm having trouble closing out the episode because the highs and the lows are so high and so low.
We need a palate cleanser because those puppets are now in my head.
It's true. The puppets are in my head and I have a lot of things to worry about right now.
Maybe we just do Addicted to Love as our sign out or something, because that was another bizarre. Total,
another one with a big why.
Memory.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Right. Oh, thank you so much to Lionel Richie and Phil Collins and Mark Mothersbaugh. In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company, to good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on trucking, and may the force be with you.
T-
Today's episode is being sponsored by artist, author, and longtime friend of the PCPS, Anne Pellegrino, who has created one of the cutest, most fun, and infectious Gen X journals that's truly a creative trip down memory lane. The Gen X Journal is so much more than just a journal. It's a retro activity book for people of a certain age, filled with journaling prompts. I love that. I never know what to write in my journals. Coloring pages and cute doodles themed around our childhood and teen memories. What did your bedroom look like? Describe it or sketch it out in the journal. What favorite toys do you remember? What songs were playing at school dances? You can make your own mixtape right in the journal. You'll find over 80 pages of cute illustrations, fun topics, journal prompts, and lots of room for your own writing and drawings. Spend some time recalling long-forgotten favorites and, most importantly, getting in touch with your younger self. We love this journal so, so much. And it's available where you buy books or through the link in the show notes of this episode. Again, it's called The Gen X Journal, and it's created by Anne Pellegrino, who is Spot Girl Design on socials. And trust us, her art is beyond darling and whimsical. Go to spotgirldesign.com to check out all of Anne's incredible designs. Thanks for sponsoring this episode today, Anne. And more importantly, thank you for creating such a fun and fabulous journal.